Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
The green, yep. Now it's, and then do the, yep.
Okay, stand by. Everybody, silence, please. We're going in five. Rolling. Five, four, three, two, one. Rolling.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I am your host, Carl Fiadini. Today, we're going to touch on why the restaurant life is so demanding. It takes a great deal of effort to get guests seated, greeted, and fed. Let's dig in. But first, our sponsor this session is Pizzecchi's Produce and Specialty Foods. If you're a chef and you're looking for quality, service, and a growing selection of specialty food products, get with Brian and company. You will not be disappointed. You can find their link on our website, thewalkandtalk.com. All right, so hello, Chef Jeffrey Schlissel. He is our Walk and Talk culinary contributor. Thanks for electing to be on the show. It's kind of like eating a buzz button the flour, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Especially today.
Right. Okay, so today, our host chef, we are at Hotel Zamora, and we are with Chef Jimmy Recic at Hotel Zamora Castile Restaurant. Thank you for allowing us to really commandeer the entire this whole place today.
You're good.
Wow. So finally, we're here.
We made it.
We've made it. Looks like we've made it. Like, it's good.
Wow.
So am I wrong? Is this not a crazy life that we live? In the kitchen and in the industry?
I mean, it was kind of funny you guys coming here today, especially the event that I had yesterday. I had an event. It was small. It was about a 50-people event, a wedding upstairs. And I had to do that, run the restaurant, run around, try to get everything together, get orders in. And it's kind of like you take 2 days off, you come back in, and then you're just like, what do I have to do now? Like, you know there's chaos. As soon as you walk into your kitchen, they're like, chef, chef, while you were gone, this happened. And I ain't got no hair, so I can't pull it out. And I'm just like, what happened now? And they're like, why didn't you call me? I didn't want you to get mad. Well, now I'm mad. Like, I'm here. What do we need to do? And I was talking to people like through the years. I try to coach people and I learned through the years. I've been in this business for 25 years, but I've been in it longer. I'm about to be 45. I grew up in the Bronx in New York. My grandfather was, I was about 10 years old and I grew up in a pizzeria. I'm part of Puerto Rican and Italian.
Okay.
And my grandfather was like, you want to learn? You want to eat? You got to get in the kitchen. Sitting there 10 years old and I'm flipping pizzas in the air in Bronx, New York.
Love that.
So it was kind of, I had both sides of the attitude, you could kind of say, coming in the kitchen, the Italian and the Puerto Rican. And then it was like, you got to kind of learn like the concept of what it takes to be a chef, what it takes to put good food out.
So then let me ask you a question. What does it take to get to achieve a high level of culinary satisfaction for the guest? How you do it in this business?
Should I talk like this for the rest of the time? I don't know. No, I shouldn't do that.
Okay. I thought you were going to go to that. If it's sauce or gravy,
we're going to get there. We're going to get there, man.
I think something that I learned in this business, it was just something that I had to teach myself, and that I learned from from my sous chefs and from my chefs from back in the days, and teaching me to where it's like to buy these products is one thing, but to actually get a good product and make it taste good, I could sit there and tell you, hey, I just bought a box of plantains and a box of rice, and I can give you a gourmet dish. So it's at the end of the day, it means something to me. So if I buy something at a good price, or I went over the edge and I bought something really expensive, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean just because you paid a good price for it that it's going to taste good. It matters if your heart's into it. If you could sit there and I could take a little $5 steak and sell it for $40, $50, then you got something coming out of it. If I could sit there and put a dish together and nobody complained about it. They literally paid for the dish, and knowing that what you put into it, you put all your heart into it, it means something.
Chef, I'm going to ask you in a minute about where your recipes are coming from. Like, where in your heart do you pull from? Mm-hmm. But before I do that, Jeffrey,
mm-hmm.
right? So I have two chefs in front of me, right? Chef Jeffrey, Chef Jimmy. When we're talking about the effort that it takes to pull off a 500 covers, 200 covers, whatever it is, you're talking about your kitchen. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the hostess, the host, your servers, this whole apparatus where there's 30, 40, 50 people that everybody has to be on point in order for this to happen and for the property to make a profit, right? Mm-hmm. So to put that high level quality dish out, experience the bar, the whole nine yards. How do you manage that? Who is the field general in the building?
He is. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, it is definitely the chef, because the chef has to, as a leader, both front and the back, there should be no wall between front and back. And a lot of times there is. The front of the house manager, the back of the house manager, that kind of thing. But I really do think that when you're dealing with the staff, the passion comes from the leader, and that's the chef of the building. He or she has to go out and describe the dishes. He has to then have the staff repeat those dishes. And it also depends on what level you're looking for. This hotel, the level is a little bit higher up. It's not like going to, you know, maybe a QSR or a family restaurant. This is an establishment where they have to know the ingredients, where it's coming from, the peas and the pods and so on and so forth. Lean, you were just telling the story. You had a family come in from Europe. And you had to do, the chef had to do, the cook had to do something special.
Well, I was sitting in the back, and my bartender walks up to my cook and says, hey, can you make two orders of boiled potatoes? And I just looked over at my cook, and I'm like, are you serious right now? And he's like, yeah. He's like, they're from Europe. And I was like, well, you can't mess up boiled potatoes. I was like, you're boiling potatoes. I was like, if you mess this up, we got a problem.
Right. Just saying. But that's the nature of the beast of the what we're dealing with. I mean, you worked how long yesterday? Because you failed to mention how long you worked.
It's one of those, like, I came in and literally, like, my job, to be honest, my job split into pretty much everybody. Like, four different positions I'm doing. I walked in, I open up the restaurant, I get the bank for the bartender, I help my bartender get everything set up, make sure he's set up out here, make sure my people in the back are set up, they're prepping, they're doing what they got to do. Then I got the banquet, I have to switch over to banquets, help my banquet chef, go back to the restaurant, make sure now the kitchen's up and running, breakfast, lunch, and dinner's ready to go, then turn around, go back to banquets. Then by the time I look at it, I'm on the line after I put the banquet out for 50 people. I'm on the line with my sous chef, another cook, and Garmo. And I leave here probably around 9 o'clock.
And for those listening out there, so he, Garmo, I know what it is. Tell the guests.
Garmo is a position that's, I try not to be funny, but some of my cooks hate Garmo. So as far as like
we're talking Garmo Jay, right?
Yeah, Garmo Jay. Like it's an easy position, but it's not. So I'll put that out there for people. Some people think it's easy. In my kitchen, it's not. My staff hates Garmo. So as a Garmo Jay in my kitchen, if you come down here, you're doing our pastries, you're doing our salads, you're doing our side dishes. And
it's okay.
It's a lot that goes on in the Garmo. And I worked at places, they call it pantry, and they laugh. Like, all you're doing is making salads, and you're doing this little desserts. And this kitchen, it's a different story.
Yeah, not only that, like, you go to some places. A million years ago, I worked in a place, there was like 20 salads on the menu. And that was the main driver of that business, was the salads. And everything was different. You're kidding me? I don't want to have any part of that. not even a minute of that.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
No, and it's just, like I said, like some people kind of take some positions for granted when you sit there and you say, hey, I've got guys, I've worked grill, I can do this, I do that. Like in one of my jobs that I worked at the Hard Rock Cafe. I was a sous chef there for 4 years. I learned a lot on the grill.
That's
and
volume,
I had the
right?
experience, yes. And one night, I will never forget, our time started from 5 o'clock, dinner officially, the night crew was from 5 o'clock to 12 o'clock. And we did about, I want to say 1,700 covers.
Wow.
And it's like turnover, like, all right, eight, get up, eat.
How many
get
days
up.
In advance? How many days in advance do you have to prep that out? Like to get all, to be ready for 1,700 covers?
To believe it, as much storage as they have there at the casino, they've got at least the day before and get up the next day to prep. And it's a turnover.
That is a lot.
And nobody doesn't stop. Everybody keeps going.
And three shifts.
Yeah.
Third shift. So third three shifts means it's a third shift overnight.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, but we're at Castile Hotel Zamora. We're at St. Pete Beach. This place is gorgeous. You made a couple of dishes, right? That were at
yes, sir.
Yep. Our main man John Hernandez over at Ibis Images was taking some food photography today. What dishes were they, and are those your most inspired plates?
Actually, yeah. I remember I met with you a couple of weeks ago. We had sat in there and talked, and I showed you a picture. And I can't take all the credit. So as far as like I did a snapper dish. So when I say I can't take all the credit, it's one of my cooks that I hired that I actually bought on 2 years ago. His name's Phil. I want to give him the credit.
Okay.
So what we did was we take the pineapple. He showed me. We were actually taking this like part of the grind. He came up with the idea like, I'm just going to cut it in half. And I'm like, my food cost. And he's like, trust me, you're going to like it. So he cut it in half, guts the inside. We have I have one of my sous chefs. She's our heritage is Puerto Rican, so she was just like, chef, I'm gonna make the rice like a dirty rice with Puerto Rican style. So she's like, I'm gonna put the beans and the onions, and you know, I'm gonna make like a gondolas, but kind of like a dirty kind of stuff. So I was like, all right, let's roll with it. So then I was like, well, I'm gonna take the snapper. We're gonna get fresh red snapper in. We're gonna blacken it. Then we kept on. Everybody built on the plate. Then we came out with the pineapple pico de gallo. That was one of my ideas that I actually use for banquets. I use it for the grouper. And they were like, well, we'll use it for the snapper. I was like, all right, let's roll. Then someone else came in and was just like, hey, why don't we do a garlic bourg blanc? So you put the garlic bourg blanc together with the pineapple pico de gallo, with the blackened snapper, with the dirty rice and the pineapple, and there it is.
Wow.
As Shrek would say, layers.
Layers for sure.
Definitely.
Layers for days.
But I want to point something out. We talked about, we touched this the last time. It's leadership, right?
Yes.
And it's the boss leader. This is a leader.
Because it's a field. You're a field general. You're on the horse. You're on the horse with the sword, the whole nine yards, and you're the guy that's out there like leading the charge.
But he's not just leading. He's actually asking for the interpretation. He's asking for input. So that's important.
Yes.
Because he's also giving the credit, and that's how you keep and you don't have churn. Your staff's turning over. These guys are going to really be involved with what he's doing because they have that impression that, hey, I belong. And that's huge. So culinary students or chefs that are out here listening, that's something you need to do. Develop your staff, and that's the best way to do it. Mentor your staff.
Yes. Yeah, so
congrats on that.
Yeah, not only did you were open to take the suggestion and roll with it and put it on the menu and keep it, and you give the credit for it, right? That's you don't see that a lot. I mean,
not a lot.
I mean,
chef, do you remember the last time your chef said, "Hey, I'm going to make a special. You want to help me with it?"
No. I've been in the business a lot longer than you, so yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
So that's amazing. That's kudos for that, for sure.
I just take my hat off.
Sorry about that, but I will say we tried both dishes. They are banging.
I appreciate that. Yeah,
they definitely, you definitely feel the love and taste it.
I can't wait to see the actual photos.
Oh, the one that he took of the paella, that was stunning.
So where does your inspiration come from? I have a couple of other chefs who are, you know, kind of part of the walk and talk family. Mm. And one of them, he's a dear friend, and, you know, his name is Jonathan Rodriguez. He's over at Salimar. And he's also Puerto Rican-Italian. And... you know, his inspiration is pretty interesting because it's Latin, Italians, Latin, mm-hmm. Spanish, but it's that Italian heritage and that the Spanish heritage and that combination of fire, because it is fire.
Yeah.
Where do you get the inspiration from? Where does it come?
I think between like all the restaurants, like growing up, like I said, in the Bronx in New York and then coming down here to Florida.
But is it from your dad, from your mom? Like what side?
I want to say it's more like from my grandmother, my grandfather, mm-hmm. my dad, a little bit from my dad. I think he was one of the guys that sat on the couch waiting for dinner. So
that's me. I'm not going to lie. That's me.
It was more like, and then with my mom was like showing me, like, I could tell you a story where one day I wake up in the middle of the night, eight years old, and my mom's like frying. It looks like she's frying a steak. And I'm like, wow, that smells fantastic. She's like, it's not what you think it is, Jimmy. I'm like, no, I just want a bite. She's putting mustard on it. And I'm like, why is she putting mustard on a steak? Went and took a bite, and it just mushed right in my mouth. And I was like, I'm good. I walked away. It's liver.
Oh, no.
And I'm just like, at 8 years God. Old, I had to learn. So I was just like.
Your mother is Spanish or Italian?
She's, my mom is a part from Puerto Rican and Italian. My dad was 100% Puerto Rican.
Ah, okay.
So it was like kind of like split up. And then I'm asking my mom, like, which more am I, Puerto Rican or Italian? Like, am I 75%, 25%? Well, like, how do we divvy it up?
Here's how you answer the question. Do you prefer pasta or rice?
Now, that is a hard question.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Because I'm used to, like, my grandfather and grandmother, every Sunday it was Sunday dinner. Like, we had pasta. Yeah. We ate lasagna at Christmas. We ate lasagna at Thanksgiving. Now, my third wife now is Puerto Rican, and I got to eat rice and beans every day with her, and she hates pasta.
Well, so, yeah, but here's the kicker. So it's Sunday. It's pasta, right? And then what are you putting on that pasta? Tell me
what you're putting on the pasta. Now, me, to be honest, I make, like, a fresh bolognese. I sit there and get some Amazonas tomatoes like I make here at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Fresh basil. I take the whole basil stems, throw it in there, oregano. I cook my garlic, olive oil. Then I add my Amazonas tomatoes. A little bit of crushed red pepper to give that flavor, salt, a little bit of sugar, and I always got to put the Italian sausage.
So if you were going to invite me over for Sunday dinner, what would you call it? Hey, you're going to come over for what?
Oh, gravy.
Oh, my God.
That's old school.
Oh, I mean, Lord. No, get me out of here. You know what?
I say that.
With all the weird stuff happening with the equipment today, of course it's this. Of course it is. Oh, my God. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, finally.
Wow. I mean, that's what they say from New York. My grandfather
cooked gravy.
I'm not judging. He asked last week, he asked the two guys, and one of them was from England. And I looked, I go, he's from England.
He's chef.
Yeah, but he's from England.
No, it's, look.
But you listen.
It's called Sunday gravy.
It's not Sunday.
Thank you.
There's like four of them. He's four out of the, like four to four. Oh, my God. Yeah, no. All right. Well, I guess we're done here.
One of the things he touched upon was the third wife and working the long hours. How do you find the work life balance?
I'm married for the third time. I've been with my wife for almost 8 years. I have kids. I have 4 kids, and from the marriage, different marriages and everything. And it's kind of one of those, when my wife came into the relationship, it was like, this is what I do. Like, this is my passion. And I hate to say it, like, I didn't really get to watch my kids really grow up here and there. And I finally, now I've gotten to a point where I've had to sit there and put my life on hold sometimes and be like, hey, I'm here at work and this is how I support you. This is how I take care of you. And my kids understood. Sometimes the wife didn't, so that's why I'm on my third, I guess. So, I mean, when you sit there and you go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning and you come home 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, I've done it. I mean, I've literally, in 1 week, I think I did a record of 96 hours in a week. Oof. And that was Mother's Day week. Wow. Like, we're sitting there grinding. I stayed here at the hotel because Steele was nice enough to be like, chef, stay here at the hotel, me and my staff. But I loved it, and that's what my wife respects, my kids respect. Like, I have the passion for it. I'm not just here collecting a paycheck. And that's what I tell some of my cooks. I'm like, if you're just here to get a check,
wrong business.
You're in the wrong business.
Wrong business.
100%.
And I'm thrilled that we're kind of coming back to life in terms of personnel, right? I mentioned it last week, and it's only been recently where a lot of the chefs that I speak with, where they have staff. We're inching back to that, and I feel like, the good that came out of the last couple of years with the change of environment, right? It's a happier workplace. There's, a little bit more cash getting thrown around. I feel like now we're going to get some really good culinary, prospects, in terms of our new breed of culinarian, right? The new ones, the up and comers.
Well, I mean, you got to have mentors like this guy.
Right, exactly. I
mean, that's the key.
100%.
Yeah.
So with that said, speaking of mentorship and charitable situations and the whole thing. So I want to bring in, Jeff into this. So we have a lot of stuff coming up here.
Yeah.
With Hurricane Ian, right? And Jeff, why don't you get into what we have going on, the dates. Sure. On the screen right now, John just pulled in the graphic for that, so right. It has all the dates and everything. Why don't you kind of talk about what we've got going on?
So tomorrow night, we're going to be over in Sebring doing Kalina Park. It's a benefit for a family that was they moved, unfortunately, to a shelter that actually burned down with the family car with the three kids. So that benefits them as well. That was Hurricane Ian. Then after that, we have November 18th. We're going to be over at Cahaba Club with Marvin and his marvelous. So I love that. Marvin and marvelous greens, those microgreens. And that's going to be $125 per person for the ticket. It's right now at 6 chefs. We're going to be probably maxing out at 9. So we're psyched about that one as well. That is the 18th of November. And then the next day, we're working on this one. It's one of the biggest ones we're going to do. It's at the Bell Tower Mall in Fort Myers. It did not have that much destruction. There's like 9 or 10 restaurants, and we're pairing local chefs that went through Hurricane Ian that can tell their stories. Seth from Straforia. There's another gentleman, Courtney, who lost his food truck and his house. He'll be there. Christopher from the Country Club as well will be there. They're going to be paired up not only with the restaurant locally, but they're also going to be paired up with a local farmer as well. And there's going to be a tasting section. And then that night, we're asking the restaurant to put that dish on their menu as a special. And all the proceeds will go towards the organization, chefshelpingchefs.org.
I'm really, really excited about, the fact that we're able to lend support, man. Just to be a part of it is a really beautiful thing. And I appreciate you linking the show up with all your team and your resources. So thank you for that. Chef, as we've spoken a little bit about, maybe doing some more stuff together with the show, the selection, if you will, of Walk and Talk media, right? I'm looking very forward to scheduling some restaurant recipe episodes with you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to, I mean, especially after seeing.
Oh, so I made dishes. It to the next level. Huh?
Yeah, you checked the box there.
Well, like your food only looks good, it tastes good.
It's so. You know what I mean? Like,
you made it.
You looks like we've made it. It's good.
Yeah, as we were singing at the beginning of the show.
Exactly, it all comes full circle. So, probably today before I leave, we'll try to pen down a date.
Okay,
it'll be different than today, but the same. But different, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink, on the nod. It's going to go very smooth. Jeff Jeffrey. So I understand that you're going to be in a little bit of a food competition November 5th. What's that about, man?
So there's the Taste of St. Pete, or as they say, Save Pete, or Berg, rather, St. Berg, Savory Berg.
Yeah, whatever.
And no, not whatever. I have to get it right. Save Berg.
Okay.
There's four or five different chefs I've heard, and it's from 11 to 12 is judging. And then 12 to 4, you give out your samples. And I pretty much threw the token. I'm doing some crazy stuff. So I'm looking forward to
it. I'm not going
to
reveal what your menu, but it looked really good. And by the way, when I said whatever, it was kind of like you're stumbling on it. Just move on. That's what I meant.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. So that's going to be November 5th and 6th, but you're cooking on the 5th. Do you know who else is going to be cooking?
No.
Our Puerto Rican-Italian compadre, Chef Jonathan Rodriguez from Salimar. He's going to
my brother from another mother.
Yeah, brother from another madre. So it works out really great. So I'm really excited. And then you got Chef Alex, the group that's coming. High level chefs, man. And one of these days, I'm going to get you in the mix on this on the next go around. I promise you that, Chef Jimmy. Listen, Tammy puts on great events. I'm really looking forward to that. You can go to our website, thewalkintalk.com, and you'll be able to find some links there to see about the event and if you can get in. Listen, I want to say it's a great show, everybody. Before we go, listen, Chef, why are we coming to Castile? Why are we coming to Hotel Zamora?
I mean, look around. This is what you get.
I know why, but to the guest, people who are listening,
to have a great experience, to come here and get something that you can't get anyplace else. That's what I told everybody when I came here, that I want to give the food that I can't just go to anywhere around the world. I want to go there, see Chef Jimmy, see his staff, and get some of the best dishes I've ever had in my life.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's awesome. I can tell everyone with absolute assurance, Hotel Zamora is a bad ass property, and you need to get here. And you know what? If you can hear my voice and you're somewhere else in the world, in the United States, you get yourself on a plane to St. Pete and you come to Hotel Zamora, you come see Chef Jimmy, right? And you come eat delicious, delicious food. I want to thank Willie, John, Veronica, and the all right, for being a part of the show and helping with, especially with today, was woo, wow. I'll get into that on another day. Listen, thanks everybody. Make it a wonderful rest of your day, food fam. Thank you. We're out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.